Good afternoon. Good to see everyone here today. Recently, I had the opportunity to speak in Miami, and the speaker stand there, it seemed to me like it was about this big. So you had enough room to put your Bible and maybe slide some notes underneath of your Bible. So I truly appreciate that we have some room to spread out here a little bit with our notes. I appreciated the sermonette from Mr. Yates this morning. It's certainly going to tie into my message as well as we go through. You'll see they're going to tie in and dovetail right together. As he started out with a story, I also am going to start out with a neighborhood story, a little different. But in our small community, there lived two people. Their names were Delbert and Linda. Delbert and Linda lived on the same block, just a few houses down from each other. And I don't know how it started, and I'm not sure even if they know how it started, but Delbert and Linda could not get along with each other. And it started out, they would argue with each other, and when they would walk down the street, it got where they would yell at each other, and before long, they were cursing at each other. And no matter whatever they did, there was an uproar between Delbert and Linda. It wasn't long until the local newspaper got wind of it and realizing the entertainment value for selling newspapers began to run a weekly update. People started writing in to the letters to the editor, and people on each side of the issue became very polarized throughout the community, and people that didn't even know each other, had never even met each other, were now calling each other names, accusing each other, and what a mess it was. Well, this was conflict. And conflict, unfortunately, is not unique. Conflict is everywhere that we look. It's all around us. All we have to do is look at the paper, turn on the TV. We see it in nations. We see the conflict going on in Egypt, in Korea, in Afghanistan, Iraq. All around the world, we see conflict. From the largest countries all the way down to sometimes the smallest countries. We sometimes not only see conflict around the world, but we also see it in our neighborhoods and even in our families from time to time. At our work, we see conflict, and yes, even at church, we see conflict at times. Well, God does not like conflict. In the old Wild West, many of you recall or have heard that the Colt 45 was called the peacemaker. That's what it was known as. But shooting someone to solve a conflict may have been a common thing, but that's certainly a strange way to make peace. And would that person who got shot think that that was very peaceful? Well, certainly not. The world that we live in today, it seems, is on fire, and I've said that many times lately. Our world is on fire with conflict. Everywhere we turn, there are difficulties. There is war. There is conflict. Isaiah wrote that the way of peace they have not known, but there is a better way. Today we're going to review the importance of being a peacemaker and what our role should be in being a peacemaker. If we want a title for this, we can call it personal peacemaking. Let's start out by asking ourselves, well, what is a peacemaker and what is peace? Definition of peacemaker or peace, Vine's Expository Dictionary tells us it comes from a word spelled E-I-R-E-N-E, and it describes harmonious relationships between man, between nations, in the churches, the harmonized relationships between God and man accomplished through the gospel, to be at peace with each other, with all men, to make peace, and being peaceable, it goes on to say. Turn with me over to the book of Romans, Romans 15. And my Bible is a very, very old Bible. And over the years, the pages have shrunk and the words have gotten smaller and blurrier. So I'm going to put some glasses on here. Romans 15, we're going to read verse 33 today. Talking about being a peacemaker. Now the God of peace be with you. Amen. So we see here that the word peace is a title. The God of peace is a title for God. That's how important it is. If we turn over one page to chapter 16 and verse 20. And the God of peace, once again, will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So we see this as being used as a title for God. It's that important. We don't need to turn there, but Isaiah 9 and verse 6 states that in his, Christ's name, will be called Prince of Peace. So that is a title of our Savior also. And we see that throughout the Bible, that title. We see the Lord of Peace in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. It tells us the Lord of Peace himself give you peace always in every way. When we think about being a peacemaker, what is the opposite of being a peacemaker? We've already mentioned that's conflict. Vine's Expository Dictionary tells us that conflict is a contest against spiritual foes as well as human adversaries, a struggle or a fight. Now, we might come up with different reasons for conflict, but just to name a few that we can reflect on here, different people have different personalities, and sometimes that creates conflict. Sometimes competition between people, jealousy, I want what you have. I want to be what you are. Sometimes it's greed can create conflict. I want what you have. A different set of values can create conflict. If you're a thief and you break into someone's house and you steal something, that can be a conflict. We see that politics can create conflict. We see traditionalists versus progressives, liberals versus conservatives. When we think of conflict, all we have to do is wait till the next political season comes around, and we see plenty of that. God does not like conflict. Well, let's take a look at the Bible and see what it says are some causes of conflict and some reasons for or causes of peace. Turn over to the book of James, James chapter 3. We're going to look at some causes of conflict here. Verse 14 we're going to start at. James 3, verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. The wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion in every evil thing will be there. If we drop down to chapter 4 and verse 1 in looking at reasons for conflict, verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? So here's some of the reasons that the Bible gives us for conflict. If we back up in chapter 3 and read verse 17, we're going to see some reasons for peace. James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we see some of the reasons and for having peace. Some of the ways to have peace in our lives and with others. Well, what are some impediments or hindrances that can keep us from having peace or can keep us from being a peacemaker? One of those would be selfishness. As we go through life, if we're just concerned about ourselves, that can be a hindrance in having or being a peacemaker. Fear to acknowledge that you haven't done everything right. Self-justification, just that pride of admitting that you've done wrong. We've already mentioned greed, but power over others, striving for control. Certainly Satan's influence can play a big part in that when we are having conflict. Also, impediments or hindrances to conflict would be vengeance. If we have an attitude of vengeance over a conflict or we just can't get over something that someone's done us wrong, then we can't have peace, and we are not going to be a peacemaker. Erwin Lutzer, in his book titled When You've Been Wronged, puts it this way. He said, vengeance is like drinking poison and expecting your enemy to die after you've drank the poison. And truly, vengeance is bad for you or bad for us if we are harboring vengeance. We don't need to turn there, but Romans 12:20 says, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For vengeance is mine, God tells us. Another impediment or hindrance to being a peacemaker would be anger. Do we have trouble controlling our anger? If we have trouble controlling our anger, we can't be a very good peacemaker. One time my cousin's son came to me and he said, you know, I just have a hot temper. I just can't control my anger. And I told him, that's a choice. That's a choice that you make. You can control your anger if you choose to. And he felt, well, it's okay as long as I have an excuse. It's just I have a hot temper, and as long as I have a hot temper, it's okay. Well, it's a choice. Anger is a choice that we make. One of the biggest impediments or hindrances to being a peacemaker is pride. We can't say that we're sorry. We can't forgive. We see wars fought, countries fighting wars over pride. Proverbs 16 tells us that pride comes before destruction. Proverbs 29 tells us a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. If we want to be a peacemaker, we have to battle pride. We have to look at the root causes of pride. We have to root those feelings of pride out. Well, how important is it to be a peacemaker? And we might ask ourselves the question, well, why? Why be a peacemaker? Well, let's turn over to the book of Matthew, and we're going to get the answer to that. Why should we be a peacemaker, and how important is it? Matthew 5. And my margin tells me, and this is what we commonly refer to as the Beatitudes, my margin tells me that this is the heart and core of the New Testament. Let's start in verse 1. We'll read verse 1 and 2 just to get the context of what we're talking about here. Matthew 5. Starting in verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying. So we see this is Christ sitting down, getting ready to teach something important to all of the disciples. And as we go through each one of these, I'd like us to stop and take a moment and realize, as we go through each one of these, that this is really a gospel message here. This is a kingdom of God message. It's that important. And we'll see that as we go through. Let's read here in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A gospel message. Verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. A kingdom message. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And when will they be filled? The whole world will be filled in God's kingdom. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And when will the peacemakers, when will the world be called sons of God? When will the world be living in peace in his kingdom? So we see this word peacemaker as an action word. It's just not peace, but it's peacemaker. The New Living Translation reads this verse 9 here as, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. It's not blessed are the peaceable or blessed are those who love peace, but it's everyone loves peace, but this is blessed are those who work for peace, those who actively seek to resolve conflict. So we see the peacemaker is an active word. just not lack of conflict. It's an active word. It takes work. So Christians must do everything that they can to mend broken relationships. A Christian must take the initiative, must make the initiative to make peace. Romans 14 tells us, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." If we go drop down here in Matthew 5 to verse 23, we'll see an example of this put into action. Matthew 5, verse 23. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Now, I've recently, when reading this verse, read it a little bit different way. I've always just read over this verse and thought, well, if I have a problem with my brother, this is telling me I need to go to my brother and reconcile with him. But if we read the verse, it's telling us, if my brother has a problem with me, I need to go to my brother. I need to be the active peacemaker and resolve the conflict. Romans 14:19 tells us, "Therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another." And this is a recurring theme throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament. We must be peacemakers. We've already heard 1 Corinthians 14:33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace, the God of peace, his title. Turn with me over to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. We're talking about ways of peace here. Impediments to peace. Galatians 5, verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Certainly, we can't do these things and be a peacemaker at the same time. But what can we do if we keep on reading the fruit of the Spirit? Verse 22. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy," there it is, "peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." So how important is it to be a peacemaker? It's not only important, but it's our obligation. We must be as a Christian. So what can we do to become peacemakers? Turn with me over to the book of Proverbs, and let's start out on the right foundation when we talk about what we can do to become peacemakers. We have to start at the right place. Proverbs 16. We're going to read verse 7. Proverbs 16, verse 7. "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." So we have to start off by pleasing the Lord. That needs to be our focus. We need to be living God's way of life, and even the enemies will make peace with us. We should talk to God if we're having a problem with another person. First talk to God. Put God first in our focus. seek God's help. True reconciliation is God's work, and it's not easy. But we must put God first and put Him in the and be focused rightly to start out with. Well, let's talk about some points of peace. We've read this verse, but I'd like to emphasize it today. This was read in the first message by Mr. Yates, Philippians chapter 2. I'd like to re-emphasize it. Verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Now, what does this mean? As a youngster growing up in God's church and learning about His way of life, I would read this scripture and I would think, well, does this mean that we are to think of everything that everybody else does or thinks better than what I do? That it just did not make sense. But what does it mean? If we take the word esteem and substitute the word treat for it, and we replace it with the word treat, we can read it, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let each treat others better than himself. And we might have a little easier and better understanding of what that means. It can be simply as much as or little as being polite to each other, being thoughtful to each other, treating each other better than ourselves, being thoughtful not only just of our needs, our wants, but being thoughtful of other people's needs. What are some other points of peace? We must try not only to make peace, but we can avoid conflict. We can avoid issues that would cause strife, being sensitive to other people's feelings and beliefs. We see examples of that throughout the Bible in 1 Corinthians when Paul was dealing with people who had come out of idolatry, who had been in the towns where they had been worshiping previously to idols, and meat was being sold in the market that had been offered to these idols. He was saying, be sensitive to other people's thoughts, their needs, their backgrounds. We should be sensitive to other people. Coach John Wooden of UCLA basketball team, one of the most famous basketball coaches of all time and a tremendous teacher of leadership, put it this way. Coach Wooden stated, consider the rights of others before your own feelings, and the feelings of others before your own rights. He also said, consideration for the rights and feelings of others is a small price to pay for the great goodwill that will be returned to you, treating others better than ourselves. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 6, another point of peace. 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6, verse 7. Now therefore, it is already another utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be defiled? So another point would be that we could accept a little bit wrong for our brother's sake. In other words, we don't have to have our way all the time, even though we might think that we're right. Someone once told me in a situation, he said, you can either be right or you can be happy. Choice is yours. Sometimes we can accept a little wrong for our brother's sake, and maybe he doesn't understand something. Maybe He doesn't have the full picture. Maybe we do, and maybe that's the way to peace and being a peacemaker. James 5:16, we don't need to turn there, but the context is healing and anointing. It states, confess to each other, pray for another that you may be healed. Well, we can also use this if by saying, confess or say we're sorry to each other that our relationships may be healed. Saying I'm sorry is a critical and helpful way to be a peacemaker. Saying that we're sorry, it helps and is meaningful. Should be meaningful. We should have the will to be a peacemaker. Understand the importance. When we're having a difficulty with someone, we can quantify the problem and communicate it with them. We need to sympathize with their side and understand what they're going through. And certainly we must cooperate with each other when we're dealing with the conflict. When we're looking for ways to be a peacemaker, one critical way is forgiveness. Forgiveness is something, if we can't forgive someone, we can't be at peace with ourselves or them. Some time ago, I thought that forgiveness was an issue that was not a problem for me. I could forgive someone. But then an instance came up where someone had done something to me, and I struggled. I realized I didn't even know the meaning of forgiveness, because it can be truly hard and difficult to get through something when someone has wronged you. Matthew 6:14 tells us that if we forgive others, He will forgive us also. Another point of peace would be humility. And I have here humility, humility, humility. We should humble ourselves before God. We should humble ourselves before our adversary. Servant leadership has been brought up today in the announcements. It also, I saw that in listening to the tapes of the conference. We're going to be hearing more and more of that. Servant leadership. Truly, Christ came and was a servant leader, taught us to be servant leaders, and we should be servant leaders. We are all leaders, whether it's in our family, whether it's at work, wherever we go, we are all leaders. Are we leading? Are we being servant leaders? We should lead with humility. If we are to be peacemakers, there's a point that we have to have if we're going to be peacemakers, and that is peace of mind. We can't be peacemakers without first having peace of mind. Let's look at that in the book of John. John 14. If we don't have that inner peace first, we can't spread it to others. John 14, verse 27. Talking about peace of mind. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That inner peace. Let's go over one page to chapter 16 of the book of John here and read verse 33. And talking about having that peace of mind. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that teaches us, when we have peace of mind through Jesus Christ and we see the turmoil in the world and all around us, no matter what turmoil we see or even what trials we're going through, we can be at peace, that inner peace through Jesus Christ. That peace that comes from living God's way of life. That peace that comes from being content with where we find ourselves. Hebrews 13:5 tells us that. We can have peace of mind in whatever condition that we are in. We must have peace with ourselves before we have peace with others. And this is truly peace of mind when we do. When we think of attributes of being a peacemaker, we must have an attitude of being grateful. Grateful for what we have. We must have an attitude of thanksgiving for the blessings that we have. For this lends itself to having peace of mind. If we are uncontent with what we have, then we will not be a peacemaker. We'll be looking inwardly at ourselves. Turn with me over to Philippians chapter 4. It's one of my favorite books, Philippians chapter 4. Starting in verse 6. And talking about being grateful for what we have. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Truly, peace of mind. We need an attitude of service. Christianity today states in having an attitude of service, when we set our minds on the needs of others, it's impossible for us to be divided. And even in our churches, the wolf and the lamb and the calf and the lion can lie down together. Goes on to say, servants don't compare or criticize or compete with other servants. They're too busy doing the work that God has given them to do. And when you're busy serving, you don't have time to be critical of others. So we should have an attitude of service. We heard a little bit about that in the first message by Mr. Yates this morning. We need to have the heart of a peacemaker. We need to be looking for ways to help and serve others. When we stop and reflect, we see that Paul himself was a peacemaker. Not always, because we see throughout Paul's history, he certainly brought conflict on the church. But then he came to a transformation where he taught others and us how to be peacemakers. In Romans 10, we don't need to turn there, but Paul states, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Another thing that we can do is offer a gesture of goodwill, genuine goodwill. Coach John Gooden once again stated that the smallest good deed is better than the biggest intention. And happiness begins where selfishness ends. Deuteronomy 22, 1 through 4, and we don't need to turn there for lack of time, gives us the example of if your brother's ox or his donkey falls into the ditch, you are to go and help your brother out and get his ox or his donkey out. If your neighbor has a need, you are to go and help your neighbor. Well, what if your brother and you aren't getting along, or your brother is your adversary? You're still to help your brother. You're still to help pull his donkey out of the ditch if it's in the ditch, or whatever need he may have, even if he's your adversary. Do we go out of our way to be a peacemaker? Do we understand that we're not all the same and we all don't think the same? We have different personalities, different wants, different needs. And that sometimes makes it difficult to be a peacemaker. But everyone loves peace and we must be a peacemaker. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. We're going to read verse 22 today. 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 22. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. And verse 25, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. A peacemaker. We see that Paul was a team player. We need to be pursuing these things. We need to be pursuing peace. We might ask ourselves, do we have the attitude of a peacemaker? Are we a peacemaker in everyday life, with our families, at work, at church? Are we in the habit of being a peacemaker? We should remind ourselves every day that we are a peacemaker. Like a daily checklist, we have our prayer, our Bible study. Are we a peacemaker? We can get it out and use it every morning when we get up. Turn with me over to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll see that here. Is peace being a peacemaker on our daily checklist? Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Let's stop right there in verse 12. Put on. It's like putting on clothes. When we get up in the morning, God is telling us to put these items on for the day. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So it's like putting on clothes every day. We should put on being a peacemaker as we put on our clothes. And ask ourselves, am I willing to be a peacemaker today, every day? If we're going to be a peacemaker, we need to ask ourselves a question. Can we be a peacemaker and not control our tongue? For the tongue is the number one enemy or the number one friend of peace. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when we think about it, careless and destructive comments only divide us. And we can use the tongue for putting people down and for devouring each other. Or we can use the tongue for compassion and encouragement. For kind words nourish and encourage and comfort and promote friendship. When we think about a conversation with someone, we can make a point with someone even if we don't agree with them, without attacking them, without raising or increasing the level of conflict if we're not agreeing with someone. King Solomon put it this way. He said, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." So we need to be careful in what we say. We can hurt someone's feelings. We can cause destruction if we're not careful. Or we can nourish, encourage, and promote friendships, which is what we should be doing. If we say something, we could say something just by changing the words and having it come out something different, in a peaceful and uplifting way. Kind of a humorous example is Zig Ziglar, a motivational speaker, puts it this way. He refers to someone and he says, you could call someone and say, "Boy, you sure are a sight." Or you could refer to them and say, "Wow, you are really a vision." Just changing the words, same meaning, can have a big difference. And we can be peacemakers. Well, conflicts will arise from time to time, and peacemakers learn to deal with conflicts and produce peaceful outcomes. It takes humility, takes wisdom, takes diligence, takes effort, takes being at peace with ourselves and living God's way of life every day. Turn with me over to the book of Luke. We're going to read Luke 6, verse 27. Luke 6, verse 27. How can we be a peacemaker? Luke 6, verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. So we are to be praying for our enemies. And sometimes that's hard to do, but here it is. We're peacemakers. This is how we do it. Pray for our enemies. Recently, Mr. Hanaway mentioned in his sermon and asked a question, how do we go after the goal of peace? And he states, we have to follow after the things that make for peace. And he quoted Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which may edify one another. A very good point. Well, let's turn over to Romans 12. And I call this God's recipe for peace. The heading on my section here of the scriptures says, behave like a Christian. But this kind of wraps everything up that we've been talking about. Romans 12, starting in verse 9. This kind of summarizes everything that we've talked about. And this is God's recipe for peace. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. And we talked about that, esteeming or treating others better than ourselves. Verse 11, not nagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, looking to serve each other. We talked about that. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Once again, God's recipe for peace. Repay no one evil for evil. Vengeance. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And lastly, do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So God's recipe for peace and being a peacemaker. Well, when we look at being a peacemaker, the Bible goes through many different examples and gives us examples of conflicts throughout the history of man. So let's take a moment to look at some of those conflicts and what peace is going to be like in the future. We all know the example of Cain and Abel. So conflict started off right early between two brothers. We see unresolved conflicts from ancient times, thousands of years ago, still brewing in the world today, some between the Jews and the Arabs. We see conflicts through the Bible between Hagar and Sarai, Abram's wives. We see the example of Paul, who went through his early before he was called, certainly bringing conflicts to God's people, but totally turned around and not only being a peacemaker, but teaching us to be a peacemaker also. Well, as we stop and look and imagine into the future, a world of peacemakers. Can you imagine a world in peace, godly peace, all around, with the neighbors, the countries, all at peace with one another. We can pray for it. We can point people to it. We can look forward to it. And it's coming. And we should be looking forward to it. Let's turn over to a scripture that's going to tell us a little bit about that time. Isaiah chapter 2. We're going to read verse 4. Talking about a time of peace that we have to look forward to. Isaiah 2, chapter 2, and verse 4. And he shall judge between the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. What a beautiful time that we have to look forward to. Turn over in this same book of Isaiah to chapter 11. Let's read verse 6 and looking forward to that future time. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Certainly a different world than what we're used to, but a world that we can look forward to. Imagine this often. Look forward to it often. It will help us as we in our quest to be peacemakers. Well, are we peacemakers in a world of distress? Are we personally going to be known for peace? How can we be unified when we're different, have different personalities, we're different people? We can be unified when we're focused on something that is commonly important, and that is Christ, the plan of God, His kingdom. We have the same goals. We have the same future. We have the same needs, living God's way of life and serving others. So are we as a group going to be known for conflict or for peace? People are going to come to God's church. They're going to be called. They're going to be coming here to God's church as new people. They're going to walk in that door and they're going to ask themselves one question. They're going to be asking, is God here? Is this where God is? And if we are peacemakers to the point that others can see that, they will know, yes, God is here. This is God's place. The subject of peace is prevalent throughout God's Word. Well, today we have seen that being a peacemaker as a way of life is a godly principle. We can look forward to the time when Delbert and Linda will be blessing each other instead of calling each other names. They'll be, instead of calling each other's names, taunting each other, cursing, they'll be blessing each other. And we can look forward to a time when the whole world will be peacemakers. As we find ourselves looking back on an unpleasant separation with our Christian brothers, let us always remember to be peacemakers. Let us remember to treat each other in a godly way and work for reconciliation wherever possible. As we go throughout the coming weeks and the weeks thereafter, let's strive to be peacemakers. And when we do, we can answer in a positive way to the question, are we peacemakers? Then God can call us His blessed.